Sakota v. Gonzalez. Ms. Sadiq.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sadi Sadiq, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mrs. Afi Marie Apubi Yepsi Sakota, who, for purposes of ease for today, I will refer to just by her first name, Afi Marie. This case concerns the immigration judge's denial of Mrs. Afi Marie's application for asylum, withholding of removal, and withholding of removal under the UN Convention Against Torture to a woman from Togo who was subject to past persecution and will suffer future persecution owing to her political opinion and that of her families. The immigration judge denied her case based on a finding that she lacked credibility. A review of the record in this case shows that the immigration judge's credibility findings cannot be given deference because the IJ did not provide specific cogent reasons that bore a legitimate nexus to the finding, and what reasons he gave were based on speculation and conjecture. In addition, the record reflects that the immigration judge also denied Afi Marie due process in the manner in which he conducted her hearing, through his numerous interferences, refusal to permit key witnesses the ability to testify, and his overtaking of testimony, all these factors impacted the results of her case. Had he permitted Afi Marie and her witnesses to testify, further evidence would have come.
Counsel, one of the things the immigration judge said appears, to me at least, to be about the strongest reason to doubt your client's credibility I've ever seen in an immigration judge's decision, which is your client offered photographs to document the abuse, and the photographs appear to bear a date stamp after her arrival in the United States, which, you know, just one would think blows the claim out of the water.
Right.
And the immigration judge relied on that. Now, the only thing you say now is that you're confident that that's not a date stamp but a time stamp. What camera or photo processor applies time stamps that look exactly like date stamps and leave off the date? Is there any such camera or photo processor?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not exactly sure if there is a camera or photo processor which does do
it
that.
It appears to be a date stamp. I at least don't know of any camera that applies a time stamp in the form of a date stamp and no date stamp.
Right.
So why are we not obliged to find that there's substantial evidence behind the immigration judge's ruling that this is a date stamp? And if it's a date stamp, there's nothing left to this case.
Your Honor, I agree that's peculiar. And during her testimony, Afi Marie does state that she believes it to be a date stamp. But the clear indication that the 03, which the immigration judge came to the conclusion represented the year 2003, to thereby discount her testimony that she was beaten in 2001, is that those photographs were submitted as part of her asylum application in 2002. So the 03 could not represent the year 2003 when they were submitted as part of an asylum application in August of 2002. And that was made clear to the Board of Immigration Appeals in the brief that was submitted. And yet the board found that there was no specific instances which the which Afi Marie pointed to demonstrate that the judge's finding was based upon specific reasons. So I think that while I agree there may be a lot of peculiarities in this case, there were six instances which he cited. All of those can be reasonably explained. And certainly the issue with the date stamp and the photographs is easily countered by the fact that they were submitted in 2002. So, Your Honor, I believe that this case is that the judge's credibility finding on that cannot stand. And similarly, the other reasons that she countered for the immigration judge's lack of credibility finding, for example, he found and he made issue with things such as why she was referred in one summons as Mademoiselle and then in another as Madame. Again, none of these testimony which she submitted, she never represented that she was the one, for example, again with the photos, who took the photos. She never represented that she was the one who certainly was there when the police wrote the summonses. And she certainly was not over the doctor looking over his shoulder when he made his report and as to what title he referred to himself as. The judge, for that specific incident, made issue with the fact that His title also indicated he was an OB-GYN doctor of gynecology. But next to that, it also states that he was general medicine. And again, he works in a hospital, so it's perfectly reasonable that when she goes to a hospital that the first person or first doctor she sees, she's not going to question what that doctor's specific specialty is. And so, Your Honor, I think the board tries to say that there's a constellation of problems here, and the government also repeats that in their brief. And then the government also indicates that there's issues with her demeanor. They make references to that as well. However, in the judge's decision, and certainly not in the board's, there's absolutely no issues with respect to her demeanor. There's nothing in there that somehow she paused or hesitated when she was testifying, or that the intonations in certain words would lend that she was being evasive with respect to certain testimony. There's absolutely no discussion of that by the immigration judge, and certainly not by the board. And Your Honor, also, aside from the credibility finding, there are serious due process issues in this case as well. I believe that a review of the record, as we pointed out in our brief, will show that this is not a situation where the judge was trying to develop a record and ascertain certain facts, but rather he just took over entire testimony. And the testimony, with the sorts of questions he did ask, point that he had a predisposition towards this case. The questions he was asking then were essentially to affirm his predisposition. There's entire chunks of testimony in there where he's asking her what kind of farm her father had owned, what kind of animals were on that farm. And then he spent, I believe, two pages in the record asking her about the radio station. How do we know that it's being broadcasted? How do we know how people in Togo know to listen to the radio station? And yet, these are questions which he asked during the testimony. He essentially directed that testimony, those questioning, yet there's no indication as to how those would have any bearing upon her credibility. They sure certainly don't translate into the judge's final decision. So, Your Honor, we would submit also that these due process considerations, in addition to his finding that she lacked credibility, seriously undermine the judge's determination that she had not testified credibly, and certainly that even the documentary evidence which she submitted was not credible. Your Honors, I'm not going to go over into the specific 6 points that we had referenced in our brief. If there are any particular questions with respect to those, otherwise I'd reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Sadiq. Mr. Ong?
Thank you. Your Honors, Winfield Ong for the Attorney General. It's the government's position that in fact, the IJ's decision was not only adequate and based on substantial evidence, but thoroughly informed and explained and analyzed based on the record.
Seems pretty goofy to me.
The IJ's decision?
Hey, we've been through this a lot with the immigration judges. I'm thinking about the exchange he had with her about her knowledge of her husband's business. And he said to her, "Your attorney has advised the court that he has no specific items from employees who verify that they work for your husband, either for garbage collection or road construction." And then why would one expect to have, affidavits from garbage men or something in Togo about their employer? I mean, really?
Your Honor, I would concede out of all of the questions in the record.
And then he goes on. "Now, when was the years that your husband operated the garbage collection? I know you did it for 4 years. I really was not involved in that." And he would have to give you this information. And then the judge says, "That's remarkable. A spouse does not know what her husband is doing when he's working?" And, of course, she points out You know, in Africa, it's very difficult for a woman to be involved in her husband's business. Men conduct their business in a different way. And then the judge says, so when he goes to work in the morning, you don't know where he's going? Is that what you're saying? He doesn't tell you? She says, he tells me that he goes to work, but I don't follow him to see where he would go. And the judge says, that's amazing. This is remarkable. A federal judicial officer deporting himself in such a way.
Your Honor,
this is incomprehensible. These comments by the immigration judge are really incomprehensible.
He's
treating Togo as if Togo were, you know, downtown Chicago.
Well, Your Honor, I would say, first of all, you have hit on what I would agree is probably the most problematic part of the IJ's.
Oh, no, it goes. That's taken almost at random. I mean, there's the wonderful remark about the radio transmitter, about how he has a photograph of his radio transmitter when he was a kid or something. What's that about? What does he think, that she should have a certificate from the FCC?
Well,
FCC, radio station license.
All I can suggest, Your Honor, is that at the point in this proceeding, the IJ does not know what
his point. His point is to hector her with really strange questions and strange editorial comment on her answers. And you know, it's very rude, this business, you know. She doesn't talk up. He's going to draw an adverse inference. She doesn't talk loud.
Your Honor, I
you force me repeatedly to ask you to raise your voice. I will not be pleased. And also might indicate the posture of your case as well. If you're really strong in your convictions, you'll express it in a strong manner. In other words, people who shout tell the truth. People who speak softly are liars.
Well, I guess
where's this coming from,
Judge? I guess I would have taken that to be simply trying to advise Afi Marie that she needs to be forthright in the way she testifies,
no.
As forthright as she can be.
No, he's talking about loudness. Today, aggressiveness and loudness is the regiment of the day, and you can even scream at the court.
Well,
I will not take offense to that. But if she doesn't, it's very unprofessional. Very unprofessional.
Your Honor.
Shockingly unprofessional. And these decisions are not, this is not small claims court. There's a lot at stake for these people.
If I may, Your Honor, I would say, on the record as a whole, I really don't think, I'm arguing absolutely, then the record as a whole, that this IJ engaged the petitioner in a fair manner. There were certainly several instances where he seems to be intemperate, to lose his temper.
This is about the gynecologist. So this doctor who treated her, he's listed as gynecologist and general medicine. Well, in a place like Togo, do we have any reason to think that they have the degree of specialization that we do? And wouldn't they think if a woman comes in and complains, they say, oh, give him the woman doctor. Let him look at her.
That is a fair...
But this was important to the immigration judge. This was a big thing. This was a consulting physician rather than a treating physician, whatever that's about in Togo. And the fact this is a gynecologist rather than, you know, the head of their emergency trauma unit.
Well, one thing that strikes me, Your Honor, as someone who does primarily trial work about these records, is it's extremely challenging that you are left with basically a four corners of a record. There's very little opportunity to go to Togo, of course,
We have conducted trials. We have read trial records. We know all about that. But this, I have never seen a trial record that looked like this for sheer illogic.
I can only argue, Your Honor, that, for instance, on the gynecologist, it was dated September 18th. She said that was the day after she had been beaten, but in fact, the reference was that she had had these conditions for several days. When pressed, she did also later say, I did have a gynecological problem that I was treated for at some point during this. That all led, I think, fairly for the IJ to question.
The immigration judge had contented itself with contradictions like the one you just mentioned. I mean, that's arguably inconsistent. But how do we know what weight he gave to that, those dates, and what weight he gave to the fact that she didn't know the details of her husband's garbage collection business, and that she was seen by a consulting physician rather than by a treating physician?
Well, I think his decision focused on those exact issues. I don't think he ever referenced the garbage collection issue, pressing her about what she knew about her husband, although later it did become significant that there were incongruities, very difficult to explain incongruities, I submit, about Afi Marie's testimony about her husband, where he was, how she knew where he was or did not know where he was, that did become pertinent and that the IJ did focus on in his final opinion that was entirely justified. Her whole basis for persecution became a floating target, that she came to the United States and then, despite having contended that she'd been beaten and threatened, returned back to Togo.
Well, of course. I mean, she gave very good reasons for that. She has children there, and she has this, you know, she had some friend in the military or something who could, in effect, smuggle her in, something the judge seemed to think incomprehensible, because that wouldn't happen in United States.
Well, I think he, I beg to differ, Judge.
That he doesn't give any indication of knowing the first thing about Togo, how people live there, how they travel back and forth across borders, what they know about their husband's businesses, how you get a radio license.
I think it's fair that for the IJ to conclude that was a peculiar behavior, given the nature, extremely peculiar behavior of her allegations. But as the BIA said, it is a constellation of problems. And in his defense, that's what he focused on in his decision. And he made it clear, I'm not saying any one of these is dispositive, but does carefully parse the record, I suggest.
No, but his collection of things that add up to, you know, not believing her includes all these silly things, right? The one arrest warrant refers to her as Madam, and the other arrest warrant refers to her as Mademoiselle. Well, look at arrest. What do you think arrest warrants in Chicago look like? Well, they're riddled with mistakes, aren't
well,
they?
Well, that was in the context of pointing out there was also a different type.
Ridiculous. The respondent could not explain this inconsistency.
Your Honor,
I
guess
one officer looks at her and says, "Well, she looks like, you know, marriage age." The other one says, "Hey, looks young, probably miss." Right? That's not an inconsistency that someone has to explain.
There were different kinds of type on the face of it, and he doesn't know what
different
is going to become.
Types of, you mean Togo? There's one form for an arrest warrant.
Oh, Your Honor, but in fairness, IJ, this is the record he is left with, and he has to parse it carefully, and he does, I suggest, parse it very carefully. And as a group, there are substantial incongruities about Ms.
I don't want to hold you up, but what is the worst inconsistency in her?
I
part of her testimony.
I do think that the medical evidence that goes to the heart of her case, that she was beaten, is evidence, corroborating evidence that she was persecuted.
What's the problem with the beating evidence?
Well, that is the corroborating evidence that she was beaten, which is the most, obviously, the most critical evidence that she was being persecuted or subject.
And what's the problem with the corroborating evidence?
The problem is the medical evidence in general, taken as a whole, Your Honor.
Medical evidence in general.
The signed by a gynecologist with a date that seems incongruous, it's dated the 18th, but says it covers 10 days, that says it's a consultation, that the photos, she says, were taken as a souvenir, there were no visible injuries, the dates on the face of it are incongruous.
The photos don't show anything one way or the other. Head is covered, right? That the edema, that's some swelling of the brain or something, right?
That,
well, if you
yes.
were wearing a headdress of some sort, that's not going to show.
But it says this has happened. Well, Judge, all I can say is that there were several points that he made that I think go to the root of it. And then the incongruous travels that
well,
she was
I
able
understand.
To...
understand. Of course she's going back and forth, right?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say of course. I would suggest that most... all I can think of, Judge, it seemed certainly incongruous to me that someone who's been threatened, had their house ransacked, would risk going back to the country now having arrived in the United States... with
had
all
this
the...
protector, right? These are apparently well-to-do people by Togo standards, so they may have access that ordinary people don't have. He
well,
could
they,
have discussed
may...
all. The immigration judge could have discussed all that, but.
And meanwhile, she is able to maintain visas and passports at all of her children in order to travel. Her story altered when pressed about the dates of the visas and passports, about why they weren't seized when her house was ransacked. I'd suggest those two things in themselves raised enough questions about her credibility to justify.
How would she know why the passports weren't seized when her house was ransacked?
Well, she wouldn't necessarily know, except that it's incongruity that they were not.
Wouldn't necessarily. How would she have the faintest idea?
Well, given that she has said that it has claimed that they've ransacked her house and seized numerous records of her husband, all in the name of persecuting her and her husband, that one logical thing you would expect that the authorities would do is seize her visas and passports. They don't do that, and not only do they not do that, but they issue warrants and summonses that she is able to somehow evade when she comes back to the United States and fly freely. For a third time in 2 years back to the United States. That was a highly unusual set of circumstances, I think, fairly in the eyes of the IJ. And I'd suggest that those issues stand on their own.
Okay, thank you, Ms.
Thank
Brown.
You, Your Honor.
Ms. Sadiq, how much time does she have? 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple of quick points. Aside from the immigration judge's incomprehensible findings, the records, this dialogue concerning issues of the radio station, her farm animals, those sorts of things, all these issues, the 6 points he brought forward, were rebutted point by point in her brief to the Board of Immigration Appeals. I think it's incumbent upon the board then to have properly reviewed it, to then say and come to the conclusion that there are a constellation of problems, and then specifically state that also she didn't point to anything specific is to completely miss the boat. I mean, the Board of Immigration Appeals is required to review this record, and this isn't a situation where Afi Marie did not present a case and then also present her finding. And in fact, our brief to the board is, to this court, is very similar to that to the board, and for the board to not have addressed any of these issues, I think is a clear error in this case. I don't want to go to the specific points, but just with respect to the medical evidence, again, the judge never pointed. He gave these issues and pointed to these specific inconsistencies or perceived inconsistencies, yet when she provides an explanation, none of that translates into the judge's decision, which in this case was actually not made on the bench at the time of her final merits hearing. It was actually a written decision, which I believe followed 6 months after the hearing. So for now, the government to say that he looked at all the evidence in its entirety and then gave weight to this specific evidence, which wasn't addressed during the testimony, when the judge does not give her the opportunity during the testimony to address this, I think is also an error. For these reasons, Your Honor, we request that this petition for review be granted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Sadiq and Mr. Ong.